John chapter 10 and verse number 9 says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. And just a couple of sections that we might make reference to later on. The first is in Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter number 13 and verse 23. The teaching of the Lord Jesus in response to a question. It's a question that we are ever so often in danger of asking, but we shouldn't ask it. You know, sometimes the Lord has asked questions that we ought to ask him. And here's one that shouldn't ever have been asked. Luke 13:23, then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? Asking a question about numbers. Are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. You see, that was a man with a kind of intellectual approach to Christianity. We find a lot of that today, don't we? Let's have a discussion about religion. It's of some interest to me, says the man, just exactly how many are going to heaven. The response of the Lord Jesus Christ is a very direct one. And you'll see the pronoun that the Lord Jesus Christ uses, ye. Never mind about everybody else, what about you? Are you going to heaven? This is a serious matter. It's a serious matter about your soul. Don't get too intellectual about it. Don't get too clever about it. And don't just look at it as something that you read in the book. It's between you and God. It's a serious matter, a serious business. And you have it there, of course. And the reference to the door is the reference that I was thinking about. A door that's shut there, which is the important point that I was wanting to raise up. Luke 13:25. When once the master of the house has risen up and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without, and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us, and he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. And just a wee verse at the end of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, that's the very last book of the Bible. There's another reference to a door. I'm going to make a little bit of reference to it. Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. And John the Apostle is writing, and in the midst of this very interesting book, verse 1 of Revelation 4 says this, and after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up thither, or up hither, and I will show you these things which must be hereafter. So you notice that John entered through a door into heaven. And if you want to turn your Bible back to John chapter 10, that's where we'll be looking at really tonight. John chapter 10 and verse 9, I am the door, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Yesterday I was down in Newcastle, and we came back there at this afternoon. It's not a place I go to very often. And I got one of these sat-navs, and as a help, usually. I got the cheap one. I think I should have bought the dear one, because it took me a bit of a detour over the Lead Hills on the way back from Newcastle, and it took me through Durrisdeer or somewhere, which I don't think I should have been through, and we ended up going down the side of a hill, and there was no barrier at the edge of the hill, and the road was bendy, and there was a good drop down the edge of the road. And Sam, who was my front seat navigator, he's actually the second driver, actually, by the look of him, he suggested that perhaps we should turn back. He said, you know, Dad, if we go over the edge of this hill, we're all going to die. Great to have confidence in you, isn't it, when you're trying to drive a road you're not very sure of. I said, Sam, I said, look at the scenery. It's brought us a lovely road. Just look at the scenery, look at the view you've got. And here's what he said to me. He said, Dad, I'm in no mood to look at the scenery. Would you just be careful how you're driving? I'm in no mood to look at the scenery. Would you just be careful how you're driving? As I read through John chapter 10 and verse number 9, although that little comment that Sam made might seem to have nothing to do with John 10 and 9, actually, it's very much the kind of idea that's been in my mind this week as I've read through this verse. The seriousness of the matter that the Lord Jesus Christ brings to me here. The seriousness of the matter. Never mind the scenery. Never mind the little distractions in life. Never mind our intellectual ideas about religion. Never mind the things that amuse us. Keep your eye on the road and be absolutely sure and certain where you're going. And here in this verse, John 10 verse 9, the Lord Jesus Christ, I think, presents to us three tremendous truths. First of all, I am the door. And he speaks to me about the door, the door. And we're going to think of it in a very simple way as the door into heaven. It was a door that was opened so that a man called John at the end of the Bible was able to go into the presence of God. What a tremendous journey. Had he never put his faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, there would have been another door opened into hell. And he would have been lost forever. Such a serious matter. And John wasn't distracted by the scenery. He was absolutely sure and certain as to where he was going as that door opened up into heaven. And so the Lord Jesus Christ presents to us the door in John chapter number 10 and verse 9. Secondly, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved. There's a decision for you. This isn't just an idea. It's not just a truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not simply something I can just nod my head to in agreement, but it leaves me with something to do. It leaves me with something to do. I am the door, and that is true irrespective of how we view the Lord Jesus Christ, but then the Lord Jesus leaves me with a decision to make. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. And that is what will divide us tonight, those that have entered in by the Lord Jesus, and those that have never entered in, a decision that we have to make. A door, or the door even, we'll think about it. A decision. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. There's a destiny for you. A destiny. Somewhere that we're going to go. This is the matter that is very much in the mind of the Saviour in John 10. It's the matter that is on my mind tonight. It's a matter that has sobered me up during the week as I've thought about it. What about my destiny? What about my destiny? There are many religions out there that are calling for your attention tonight. Many religious ways that present themselves as a good thing to follow. There are many churches, there are many preachers. Don't just take potluck. Think about it very carefully. Think about it very seriously. Because the destiny of your soul is at stake. It's where you're going to spend eternity. It's whether or not you're going to choose between heaven and hell. And all paths don't lead to the same way. All paths are not equal. This is something that presents itself as so important. Don't get caught up with the scenery. Watch the road. If you take a wrong turning, you're lost, and you're lost forever. How important this is in John 10 and verse 9. I am the door, the door. Secondly, by me if any man enter in, a decision. And thirdly, he shall be saved, my destiny. What a straightforward gospel message that is in John 10 and verse 9. Let's think about some of these things together then. The Lord Jesus Christ says there in John 10, I am the door. I notice first of all, just on the surface of it, the Saviour presents this great truth that we find so often right the way through the Word of God, that there is only one door. I am the door. The door. There is only one way that will lead to God. John 14 verse 6, the Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth,
and thy life. And once again, as we read the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are presented with this tremendous truth that we are not able just to make our personal choice, make our personal decision, live our life as we please, go with whatever religious system that we choose, and everything will pan out alright in the end. The Saviour makes these absolute claims. He makes this total claim to be the only way, the only truth, the only door into heaven. There are many things that I could follow tonight. There are many systems of teaching I could follow. Many standards of goodness, many commandments I could follow, but the big question is, where does it actually take me to? Where does it lead me to? And the Lord Jesus Christ is presenting himself in this way, that he is the door, that if you follow this path, if you follow this road, it doesn't just make you better, it doesn't just make you a better person, it doesn't just help you with your life, with the decisions that you make, but when you reach the end of your life, you will be like John that we read about in the book of Revelation, a door is open into heaven. What a tremendous thing. Because heaven is shut to me if I'm not saved. Heaven is close to me. Heaven is a place where God is. It's a place that is marked by the holiness and the purity of God. And any sinner coming into that heaven defiles it. I suppose all religious systems amount to much the same thing. They amount to a system of rules and regulations. Many of those rules and regulations are very nice. Very nice. That has to be said. One of the oldest surviving religions in the world is a religion called Zoroastrianism. Don't know if you've ever heard of that. Maybe heard of Freddie Mercury. Freddie Mercury was a Zoroastrian. It's an ancient religion. It comes from Iraq. They're still going on today. It goes back to the days of Daniel. One of the precepts of Zoroastrianism is that you do good for good's sake. That's the core of that religious system. Do good for the good's sake. Who could argue with it? Who could argue with it? Hard to argue with that kind of thing, isn't it? Judaism has as its core the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Who could argue with it? Nobody could argue with it. Islam has at its very core devotion to God, prayer to God, giving of alms, reading of holy books. Who could argue with it? The problem is this, it doesn't open any doors for me. Come into the book of Romans, will you? Book of Romans, chapter number 3. Into the book of Romans, if you have your Bible. I want to show you something. Book of Romans. Here is the end point of following rules. And in the book of Romans and chapter number 3, we have the best of rules. It's the Ten Commandments and the laws of Moses there that the Apostle Paul is thinking about in Romans 3 and verse number 20. Here is what the Apostle Paul says about religious rules, about trying our best, about doing good. Romans 3 verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. In other words, religion and religious systems don't open a door to me, they shut a door. They shut a door. As I'm presented with the reality of living a good life, all I can say is that I fall short of that. As I'm presented with the reality of the Ten Commandments, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. All I can ever say about that, any day that I live, is I haven't done it. That's all I can say about it. I haven't done it. I can say it's good, I can say it's God's standard, and so it is God's standard. I can say it's the right thing to do, but I know at the end of the day, if those Ten Commandments are God's way of living, then all they do is tell me that I am a total failure. A total failure. It closes a door into heaven, it does not open a door. But here the Lord Jesus Christ presents something so different. He says, I am the door. In other words, I'm not just going to tell you how to live your life. I'm not just going to tell you that you've got to be good. But I actually have the power to open up a door into the presence of God for you forever. How different that is. How can he do such a thing? How can the Lord Jesus Christ open a door so that I can enter into the presence of God forever? Well, he's done something totally different from what anyone else has ever done. He has done something unique. He has paid the price
for my sins. He has taken all of those sins and all of those failures, all of those broken laws, and he has taken all of those broken laws and he has suffered for my sin. He has taken the penalty for my sin. That means that God is able to receive me into his heaven because I've got a Savior. I've got someone that has taken the punishment and the judgment for my sin, and he's able to receive me into his presence. I want to read a few verses again later on in the Bible. Again, if you've got your Bible, turn with me, would you, to the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians. And again, here in this book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul is writing, and he's thinking about men and women trying to reach God by keeping laws and rules. And I'm in chapter number 3 there of Galatians. Look at these sobering words, Galatians 3:22. If we think that our religion, if we think that our good works, if we think that our church going, if we think of that any of these things are going to get us into heaven, listen to the word of God in Galatians 3:22. But the Scripture, this is the Bible, hath concluded all under sin. This book condemns me. Face up to it, says the Apostle Paul. This book condemns me. Have you ever had an adulterous thought in your heart? Have you ever used it in the name of the Lord in vain, just to once? Have you ever taken anything that doesn't belong to you? The Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. All of these laws and all of these rules and all of these all of that legislation, it was there to tell me that I need a Savior. I need a Savior. So don't go following after religion or you miss the point of the Bible. Don't go following after rules and legislation. Don't go following after good works in order to impress God, because you've missed the point of this book. All of that is to teach me a lesson. That kind of do it. Some of us, it takes longer for us to realise than others. But we can't do it. We're a failure. The Scriptures have concluded all under sin. But, says the Lord Jesus, I am the door. I am the door. I am the door. I am able to open up heaven for you. And only I. There is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Only one man in all of history has ever died for my sin. Only one man has come and preached away and then shed his blood and taken the punishment for my sin and been nailed to a cross and has put his body and his blood and his life where his lips are. Only one man has loved me unto death, even the death of the cross. Only one person has done that, the person of Christ. And only one man, and his offering has been acceptable to God for my sin, for only one man in all of history has been raised from the dead. That's how I know that Hinduism is nonsense. That's how I know that Buddhism is a lot of nonsense. Because Christ has broken the power of death. He's been raised up from the dead. No reincarnation. It's a lot of nonsense. No reincarnation, because one man in history blew the whole thing to smithereens when God took him and raised him back into his body that he was there, because God was pleased with this man. God was pleased with him. And as he did that, he shattered the myths and the religions and the ways of the Eastern world forever. One man raised by the power of God into an endless life in resurrection body, because God was satisfied with the work of this tremendous person. I am the door. The door. A door, or the door. And a decision. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. A decision to enter in. Now, there is always a temptation, there's always a bit of a problem when we begin to come to gospel meetings and to church meetings or anything like that. There is a bit of a problem, a kind of problem that we read about there in Luke chapter number 13, a problem to become experts in the Bible, a tendency, a temptation to become experts in the person of the Lord Jesus and to become a little bit like those men there in Luke 13 that turned to the Lord Jesus Christ having considered what he said, and they said, Lord, are there few that be saved? And they wanted just to take a kind of arm's length view of the Lord Jesus. But you notice the message that is preached here demands at some point in my life a personal decision, a personal commitment. It demands my personal trust in the person of the Lord Jesus. By me, if any man enter in. So I can ask you tonight, I can ask my own soul, I can ask you tonight, have you ever entered in? Because it doesn't matter what the Lord Jesus Christ has done, it doesn't matter what I'm saying, it doesn't matter what the Word of God says. If you've never ever taken this personally, then you're lost. It doesn't matter how great the work of the Lord Jesus Christ is. It doesn't matter how his resurrection has dispelled all of these myths. It doesn't matter how acceptable his blood was to God. It doesn't matter that God has made this great plan of salvation. It doesn't matter that Christ loves you and that Christ died for you. But if you refuse to accept the salvation for you personally, you're lost. You're lost. My, we've missed that at times, haven't we? As minister after minister buries people in Scotland and they tell everybody they're going to heaven. It's not what the Lord Jesus Christ told us. Luke 13:25, when once the master of the house has risen up and has shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us, and he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Is that not sobering words? That's sobering words. Those are sobering words. In other words, says the Lord Jesus, there's an opportunity at the moment. Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians puts it like this, now is the accepted time, now is God's day of salvation. You've got an opportunity, the door's open at the moment. The Saviour is willing to save at the moment. The Saviour has died for you. He's inviting you to put your trust in him. God at this moment, this day, commands all men everywhere to repent and believe. But tonight, tomorrow, next week, maybe the door shuts. And God says, that's it, that's enough. That's it. God, you see, is doing something very special with us at the moment. God had said to Adam way back in the book of Genesis, that the day that he ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he should die. And we know that in our hearts. We look around about ourselves and we say, if there's all that suffering in Burma, where's God? If there are all these Africans being murdered there in Central Africa, you remember just a few years ago, it was the Tutsis, wasn't it? And they were massacring one another in the millions. Where's God? And we see the anniversary pictures of the gas chambers in Eastern Europe, and we say, where's God? Why does God allow such things to happen? Why does God not call men to account? Surely there can be no God if there's all that rebellion, if there is all that sin in the world. And what we don't realize is this, that one day God is going to bring it to a stop, and he's going to say, that's it, you're finished, enough, depart from me. But at this moment, for a little while, says the Bible, grace is shown to us. For a little while. For a little while, God holds back his wrath. You think God is any less angry with sin than you and I are? I tell you, he's more angry with sin than you and I are. But he's a God of infinite grace, and he gives you and I an opportunity at the moment to repent. I've told you, maybe in the past, about a conversation I had with a chap, and that was his big problem in life. How he could get his mind round that. He once was in a church with a minister called William Barclay. Those of you that read books will have heard of Mr. Barclay. He was perhaps one of the most famous Church of Scotland ministers in the last 100 years. That was his minister, and he was under the ministry of William Barclay. But his mother died, and he watched the death and the suffering of his mother. And it was a big stumbling block to this man. He said to me, you know, he said, all this suffering in the world, he gave lots of examples, there's no shortage of examples, all of that sin, all of the evil in the heart of men, how can God allow that? I said, do you want God to stop all of that? He said, I want God to stop all of that. I says, you're the first one to go. He says, what do you mean? I said, the Bible says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. The Bible says that you shall have no other God before me, and you're denying God, and you say you're wanting the judgment of God to come upon sin and upon sinners. God will utterly destroy you if you apply your own teaching. You see, we're able to find fault and sin in the horrendous. We're able to find fault and sin on the other side of the sea, on the other side of the street. We don't find it in ourselves. But for a little time, says the Word of God, grace is shown to us. God's kindness, God's long-suffering, God's mercy is waiting. The door is open, but God one day will do what we anticipate that He will do. He'll shut the door. That's it. Finished. Opportunity over. And for this moment in time, the Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the door, by me if any man enter in. We need to do that now. Because one day the door will be shut. It has to be. We know it has to be. It can't continue the way it's continuing. And the Word of God says, if any man enter in. It is any man. It is anyone. The gospel is for everyone. The gospel's for you, it's for me. Don't ever do what the man did. Or, well, you can do what the man did in Luke 7. There was a man in Luke 7. And thinking about his need of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said this, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy for you to come into my home. Sometimes we can have thoughts like that. That gospel message is fine and it's good and it's great to know that God loves me. It's great to know that Jesus Christ died on the cross, but it can't be for me, you know. I'm sunk too low down. You don't understand the things I've done. You don't understand the problems I've got. Don't let that hold you back. Don't ever let that hold you back. I'm not worthy. None of us are worthy. And the man that said that in Luke 7, although he said it, he didn't let it hold him back from Christ. So by all means say it, but don't let it hold you back from coming to Him, and don't let it hold you back from believing in Him, and don't let it hold you back from trusting in Him, for there's none of us are worthy. No, not one. And here is an open invitation into an open door. By me if any man enter in. Take God at His word. Take Him at His word. You can trust Him. If God didn't mean any man, He wouldn't say any man. If we say that it's not for us, if we say that somehow God couldn't be interested in us, we're really calling God a liar, aren't we? But God has said it so clear here, by me if any man, anyone can come and enjoy this salvation, anyone can be saved, anyone can put their trust in the Lord Jesus, anyone can cry, Lord save me, anyone can be changed, anyone can be fitted for heaven. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him need not perish, but have everlasting life. So we know that there's a door. And then I see that there's a decision. And I notice that it all has to do with my destiny. And He shall be saved. He shall be saved. I want to flick through one or two scriptures very quickly. I want to show you what it is that we're saved from and by. If you've got your Bible at John 10, look down at John 10 verse 28. Look it down please with me. John 10 verse 28. Just because we're there. John 10 28 says this, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I give unto them eternal life. I want you to see there that when the Lord Jesus Christ said we'll be saved, we're saved forever. Saved forever. There's a group of folks that go around the doors, they chap the doors, they call themselves Jehovah's Witness. They most certainly are not witnessing to Jehovah. Perhaps Lucifer's Witnesses would be a better title. They say that once you're dead, that's the end of it. It most certainly is not. It most certainly is not. There is at stake here eternal life, or eternal damnation, as we'll see in a moment. And if I'm saved, I'm saved for eternal life. Secondly, over towards the end of our Bible, Revelation chapter number 20, the other side of this. Revelation chapter number 20, right at the end of your Bible, please. Revelation chapter number 20 and verse number 12 says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things that were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." I can say this, that when the Lord Jesus Christ talks about saving me, he means saving me forever. When the Lord Jesus Christ talks about saving me, he means saving me from the lake of fire, from eternal judgment, from being lost forever. God will never tolerate sinners in his heaven. Thirdly, look with me please at Ephesians chapter number 2, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. Ephesians in chapter number 2. I'm just picking out some key verses in the Word of God that have to do with salvation. Ephesians 2 and verse number 8 says this, "By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God." When Christ saves me, he saves me forever. When Christ saves me, he saves me from hell. And thirdly, when Christ saves me, he saves me through faith. Ephesians 2 and 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith." We're not giving you something to go home. I used to hate that when I was at school. Maybe you hated that as well, especially later on at college. They sent you home with homework. Oh dear, oh, better watch what I'm saying. Present company. It was good for you, wasn't it? Yes, it was good for you. But we're not sending you home with homework. We're not saying, go home and work this out, will you? Go home and work at it so that you can get into heaven. It's not like that. It's something that's received by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. In other words, you can come into the hall tonight, destined for hell, and before you go out the hall, you can be saved forever. What a message, and what a change it has brought about. Changed in a moment of time for all of eternity, because it's the gift of God. It's something I receive. I don't work at it. I take it by faith. I believe that Christ died on the cross for my sins, and when I believe that, I'm saved. Saved forever. Saved from hell. Saved by faith. And what about Ephesians 2, verse number 4? "For God, who's rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us and made us alive with Christ. By grace are you saved. He's raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus." That's his purpose in saving us forever. Saved to enjoy Christ forever and ever and ever. That in the ages to come, God might have in heaven men and women from New Cumnock who were saved from drink and from drugs and from sin and from perversion and from broken lives and from broken marriages and from immorality. And they're being transformed. Their sin has been forgiven. They've been cleansed. And they look like Christ. And they're there forever in the presence of God. That's what God wants to do. You thought it was about coming to church, didn't you? No, I didn't. I sure didn't. "For by grace are you saved through faith." Saved forever. Saved from hell. Saved by faith. And saved to enjoy Christ for all eternity. Three very simple thoughts, but how much there is in them there. In John chapter number 10, "I am the door." One door. "By me, if any man enter in." One decision. The greatest decision you'll make ever in your life. "By me, if any man enter in." The decision to turn from your sin and just make that cry from your heart, "Lord, save me. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." The Bible has promised. God has promised. One door, one decision. "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." And it affects my destiny forever. What a message that the Lord brought to us. Shall we pray? Our Father, we do just come into thy presence tonight. We give thanks for thy word. We thank thee, our Father, for the joy of knowing the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the power of this message. Well, we thank thee, our Father, that our Saviour didn't just leave us with a set of rules and regulations and leave us to get on with it and try our best and fail. But we thank thee, our Father, that he and he alone is able to open a door for us into heaven. Well, we pray, Father, that if there's any tonight that have never gone through that door, that tonight they might make that decision in their life to receive Christ, to turn from their sin and to cry to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Well, we remember thy promise that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We give thanks, our Father, tonight that thou dost save from hell, thou dost save forever, thou dost save by faith, and thou dost save for thy glory to enjoy thee forever. And we just, our Father, commit thy word to thee tonight for blessing, praying for a rich blessing on all that are here. We thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for the promise of thy Spirit. And we just pray that thou would encourage us and build us up. And we pray, Father, for souls to be saved as we offer thanks now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.